Welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, August the 24th. Yeah? Okay. 2024. Sometimes, man. Season 18, episode 29. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. We are here for the next 2 hours to talk about video games and anything else that gets brought up, but usually just video games. If you want to get in touch with us and do the same, then our phone number is 334-272-9228. Go to ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. And we've got, you can find us on Twitter at ingamechat, as well as Facebook. You can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now. On Twitch, go to twitch.tv and you can find us there and join in the chat room live while we broadcast. Got some folks in the Twitch chat right now hanging out. AC Wraith, Bama Brian in there as well. So, hello everybody. What was I going to say? This thing. The Discord. We put a link on our Twitter account. So, when we go live, this message goes out, I think. It used to, and I think it may still, I don't know, but it should send out a link to join us on Discord and chat with everybody there. I mean, there's nobody in the chat room there, but Discord's kind of like a, I don't know what you would call it. It's kind of forum-y-like, post chats and things. It's like real-time, boom, 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 back and forth type things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. So let me do this thing. One other thing is that we're going to be off next week. So, I mean, it's Labor Day weekend here. So, yeah, we're not going to be here next week. So if you happen to tune in, it'll be a replay. I don't know. I might stream that afternoon. Mm-hmm. Possibly. Stream what? I'm not exactly sure. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about what we played. Speaking of, what have you played, RJ?
More MLB The Show, still playing baseball, still getting my enjoyment out of that for the most part. I did play a little bit of Warframe recently, and there's been so many updates on that thing, and that's the thing that really does get my respect for the folks behind that game, because they have been constantly improving and adding things to that thing left and right, listening to the fans over and over again, and just keep improving on the product. You know, so it makes it worthwhile getting back into. I know they got some more Warframes in there, another game mode. I haven't gotten into it yet, but because there's so many things I have to finish in that game, especially with story mode, side missions, and other Warframe missions as well. So there's plenty of content in there for me to get back into when I do sit down and focus on it.
Yeah.
So. Kudos to them for still putting stuff in there and giving it the support that that it's gotten over all these years. So, Warframe is what I've been playing. Other than MLB The Show, a little bit more with Virtua Fighter 5.
Yeah.
On the league match, I finally got back to the league match after a couple of weeks away. I had to take care of some things on those days, so I wasn't able to join as much as I'm used to.
Right.
So
yeah.
I was able to go back this past week, so I had a good time with that as well. And other than that, I did try some more Balatro.
Oh, okay.
Tried a little more Balatro. Did not did not beat that blue deck that I was working on. So lather, rinse, repeat. Try it again.
It's okay. Hey, ain't no shame in, you know, not being able to beat Dex and Bellatro, man. That is...
Look, I beat one, so that's an accomplishment to me.
It's RNG all the way, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's just right random.
Yeah, I got to get the right jokers to boost your stats and get the right hand boosted up.
Yeah, you know.
Don't think it's going to be pair all the time either, because that's what happened the last time I almost beat it was I had pair. Leveled up to level 10 or 11, something like that.
Right.
And believe it or not, I could not get a pair in the hands I was getting for the last part. It was just, I'm like, this is impossible. How can I not find a pair in the entire deck that I'm using right now? Man, that's how it turned out. So I'll do that again when I get a chance to. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it has just been, sorry, I got a work text here, and so I'm trying to fix a problem while we're on the air.
Yeah, they got,
and I'm sorry.
No, they got you available 24/7.
Right, okay. Currently through this laptop in front of me, I am logged into a computer that is in a room right over there. He says as he's looking at his screen on the...
Yeah, little room to his right.
Yeah, yeah. My room over there so that I can refeed some stuff over and get that there, which I just did. So we're good. Things are better. And I apologize. I was paying attention to you other than the fact that it was just Warframe and Bellatro and MLB The Show,
mm-hmm.
Which is actually fine. For me...
And Virtual Fighter 5.
And Virtual Fighter 5, yeah, yeah. For me, I really... Really tough for me. So I got an invite. It's more well known now, but I got an invite into Deadlocked, I think is the name of the game.
Okay.
It's a new game from Valve
called Deadlocked.
Deadlock.
Deadlock.
It's Deadlock. I'm okay. Sorry, not lock. No ED on it, but it's Deadlock.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know much about it, but one of my guys from the Destiny clan that I'm in, they shot me an invite to it. And I logged in, and it showed a bunch of people online. Actually, it showed a bunch of my friends lists. And it says, you've got 200 invites. I was like, wow, okay. So I just started clicking on names, sending those things out. So I didn't know where your computer was as far as... its ability to play this, mm-hmm. which is why I didn't send one to you. And it's a shooter.
Yeah, I mean, I got a description here. It says, Deadlock is an upcoming action game by Valve for Windows. It combines the hero shooter and MOBA genres.
Mm.
Unveiled before it was unveiled in August of 2024. It's been in closed beta for months.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It had reached a concurrent player count of more than 40,000.
Yes. And apparently they're getting ready to expand upon the beta and everything else, so,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, I haven't loaded it up. In fact, I loaded it up once. Saw that once I didn't even play the game. I sent those off, and then I was kind of looking at the main menu of it. But then I glanced over at my PC's the box of my PC that has a thermal, you know, tells me the temperature of my CPU, and it's pushing 90. I said, oh. All right. Well, I don't feel like tweaking anything right now. I'm just going to exit the game because I really didn't feel like going through and like figuring out how to do anything. It's something I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Probably something I'll do tomorrow is kind of go back in and look at it and actually put some time into it. I would like to play it just to see how it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a couple times like that. I need to start getting into.
Just yeah.
Put something down to start.
You know,
First Ascendant comes to mind. So I need
yeah,
to start
I get
doing
into
that.
I get into some betas sometimes, and sometimes I rarely do anything with them. And I kind of don't want that to be the case with this. I'd like to at least give it a shot. A lot of the times, the reason I don't do anything with them was because I was embedded in Destiny.
Yeah.
A lot of my excuses for why I didn't play this or didn't do that will fall back on the fact that I was playing Destiny.
Yeah.
And Destiny might have been a FOMO thing. I don't necessarily think it was a fear of missing out type of situation. In some ways, I don't think it was. Basically, the fear of missing out that I had with Destiny was not missing out on anything that they were offering. I was always going to be available to get whatever it is that they were offering for the week or something like that.
Yeah.
I think my FOMO with Destiny 2 were big moments where I could play the game. A lot of the times I would play the game in just bursts. You know, I'm going to log on for about an hour or two, play it, and be done. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to do the same thing, log on for an hour or two, play it, or be done. So whenever I had time that was like a lot more than that, that I could sit down and play it, I'd get in there and I'd do a bunch of stuff because that I needed to do for the season. My fear of missing out was not getting some of those achievements during the season, like mm-hmm. the Gambit title or whatever the thing. I don't even remember any of the stuff anymore, but all these different things that you could do through a season. And so yeah. my whole thing was, I got some time, I need to work on this.
I think in my case, playing Destiny, it was never to me about the season or the challenges and things like that. Like, if I didn't like doing it in the game, I just wasn't going to do it. For example, the Gambit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like Gambit, so I just left it alone. Iron Banner. Iron Banner became more of the same time after time after time again.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really a PvP guy with Destiny anyway. I was more like support and helping friends and teammates get together and achieve things, beat bosses, things like that at
right.
higher levels. And what was it called? Nightshade or whatever difficulty, you know, things like that. Getting together with folks at higher difficulty.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That type of thing. So that's what I was all about. So I wasn't really about the changing, getting challenges and things like that. So,
yep.
Yeah. So I don't think I've ever had that issue with Destiny.
Yeah. Well, I haven't played Deadlock. I've launched it, but I haven't played it. So I'm not really revealing anything that was under NDA, although a lot of the articles hit today or late yesterday and today that they finally announced that, yeah, it's Deadlock and it's a shooter. It's a MOBA, which is not something that I've always been interested in. But I also haven't played it to give you any kind of there's no way for me to give you any sort of impressions of the game, other than it made my computer run hot.
yeah, you said 90 degrees. What's the usual temperature for your
I'm running something heavy like that, probably in the 70s. You know, if I'm running probably the most stress I've seen put on it, maybe around the 80 degrees type thing. But if I'm running something that's heavily intensive, like a what was it? Not Baldur's Gate. What was the other one? Was it Alan Wake 2, I think, or something that was heavy, yeah, you know?
But it was the only thing running at the time. Nothing else was going on that you know
I
of,
don't
so.
Remember.
Okay.
I don't remember. I may have had a web browser open, but I mean, there was nothing, you know.
Nothing else. They should have shot it up
to 90.
Okay.
Nah.
Okay. Goodness.
No. So, yeah. I didn't play it. I launched it, and I looked at it, but I didn't actually play the game. Mm-hmm. There was an option where you could watch somebody play, and I clicked that. And as it was waiting to get me in, that's when I kind of looked over and I saw my PC. And I was like, "Oh, you're kind of warm right now." Ah, well, mm-hmm. I'm not going to worry with it. Exit, close it. I'll look at it later. I sent my invites out. I'm good. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you got an invite from me on Steam, it was for Deadlock. It was not a spam. It was not anything else. It's just like I had a ton of invites, and I'm like, here. You get a car, you get a car, you get a car. Everybody gets a car. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I opened that thing. Duke got it. Yeah, Duke, you're in the... I got the thing of, if you wanted to say something, I got it right there.
I didn't know I was allowed to. I was waiting for...
yeah, I'm glad you knew your place.
I booted it up after you sent me. I was like, oh, shooter, Valve? Of course I'm going to launch this. Like,
exactly. You know? I mean, oh, man. I still can remember playing the last multiplayer Valve shooter that I enjoyed is not going to be Team Fortress 2 or Left 4 Dead. Those are, what, third-person shooters. But first-person... Well, this is a third-person, I think. Is this third or first?
No, it's third. It's... Oh God! Now you're getting me trying to remember. It's third. You can see your dude. It's like so. Are we allowed to talk about it?
I don't know. I'm seeing AC Wraith pop this stuff up in the chat room now, and I am not sure.
Well, from the images I'm looking at online, it looks like the third person. So, if there's pictures of it,
But see, I actually haven't played it. I've launched it, but I've actually not gone in the game other than the menu and inviting friends. That's it. And so, but to go back to my original point, Day of Defeat was a whole lot of fun. And I wish that they would revamp that or come up with something or do something with Day of Defeat. That was a lot of fun. But I'll give a Valve shooter a shot and I'll try it again. Let's see. It says, update August 12th. Turns out Valve was not fine with me trying Deadlock with friends. I've been banned from matchmaking. Oh. Yeah. Okay, that's from The Verge when it talks about Valve deadlocks there. Anyway, I don't know if I'm breaking NDA. I have no idea. But, I mean, there's an article out about it. There's a couple of articles. It's been officially announced now. Plenty of people were leaking before. I think we're fine. I don't think somebody – well, I say that, and yet I got banned from Destiny. I don't think somebody from Valve is like, hey, those guys on that Twitch channel that currently has seven people watching just broke NDA. Ban them. I think we're okay. But you got you played it?
I was just like looking to see if there was anything that popped up, but I don't remember. I usually am pretty good about recognizing, you know, big NDA pop-ups and stuff like that.
Right.
I didn't see anything.
I don't remember seeing anything either. When I launched the game, I don't remember seeing anything about an NDA. I don't remember, but my memory ain't great, so it's not like I would remember. But so I didn't play that. Mm-hmm. I wish I could remember what I did play. I thought I played something else. I've been playing a lot of Marvel Snap. It's kind of like what I do because I've been chasing after some bounties and things like that. I broke out of my original league or alliance or clan or whatever you call it, and I joined one of the ones from the old Colony of Gamers. Mm-hmm. They had one, Spigot made one, and so I joined up with him. And today, this won't make sense yet, but you'll know earlier. You'll know later, I mean. Every time there's a good sale, or I'll check my wish list, right? And I can sort by what's got a discount. Mm-hmm. And once I sort by that, and I've said this before, but once I sort by discount, then I look at what is discounted, how much it costs, and what the current rating is. And usually if it's usually anything that has an overwhelmingly positive rating is pretty safe bet that I'm probably going to enjoy it. Not always, but a pretty safe bet.
Yeah.
And it's one that I'll look at a lot closer than I would something that just says very positive, positive, mixed. Mixed is almost like, okay, I'll wait until you're cheaper.
Yeah, mixed is a crapshoot anyway. So,
yeah. So all I got was go after the overwhelming, and there was a game that I had in my wish list from the Summer Games Fest or whatever called Duck Detective, and it's about a duck that's a detective. I mean,
it's like Chicken Police.
It's a lot of like Chicken Police.
Which
yes,
is another title I need to finish off actually.
Yeah. So Duck Detective is there, and I have it in my wish list, and I'm looking at it, and I was like, man, it's overwhelmingly positive. So I put it in my cart, and I said, we'll see, we'll wait, we'll see. Anyway, I'm working on music Sunday. I'm working on music for this episode. At the house, and I'm doing the newer whatever, and I came across Duck Detective. This thing must have released, I don't know when, back in June, May, something. I can't remember.
I'm looking up. May. Late May.
Late May. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then I don't know why I had it in my wish list, but it was in there.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the music for it, and you're going to hear it not in this break, but at some break, you're going to hear the music for it. And when I heard the music, that's when I said, oh, I might be interested in this. It had a very, well, you'll hear it, but it had a very noir style, you know.
Like Chicken Police.
Yeah. And I thought, wait a second. What is this doing? So I played it this morning. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, he talks a bunch in his head a bunch, you know, and it's very much a noir detective game, but with ducks and other animals and things like that. And I don't know, I really really enjoyed it the little bit that I played, enough that it makes me want to go back and play it some more. I did enjoy it. You're putting together clues, and you can play it in different styles. You can play it in detective mode, which means that it's going to be a little less hand-holdy. If you can't figure something out, it's not going to fix it for you, or you're going to get a lot more information when you do it detective. Detective whatever. The other mode is going to give you options, but only the options that you're going to need. In other words, it's not going to overwhelm you with a bunch of stuff that may or may not fit into your case that you're working on. Instead of getting three different names for somebody, you'll get the one name for that person. Mm-hmm. You know, that way you don't have to choose. You just have to figure out how it falls into place for whatever it is you're trying to figure out.
So it's like a normal mode and a hardcore mode or something.
Yeah,
like
kind of.
Yeah.
And not, but not too hardcore. Honestly, so far from what I played, it's not that bad. Going in detective mode on this. So, I don't know. I've really enjoyed it. The characters have a very Paper Mario feel. In fact, they look like they're paper because they're 2D.
Yeah.
Flat and everything.
Yeah, the cartoony look to it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a duck.
Yeah.
Wearing a tie and a fedora and a jacket, and, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking. I pulled up the Steam screen. Yeah. Solving crime is no walk in the pond. You're a down-on-his-luck detective who also happens to be a duck.
Yeah.
Yeah, use your powers of deduction.
Deduction. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, to inspect evidence, fill in the blanks, and bust the case wide open. This is a short but twisty detective case.
Yeah. Yeah.
From Happy Broccoli Games.
Yep. I can't remember what else they worked on.
Let's see.
I thought there was something else. That might be their first, though. I can't remember. Because I was looking at another game that I really, really, really want. Mm-hmm. That's also kind of in the, I don't want to say cutesy, but quirky thing. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness you're here.
That's the name of it?
Yeah, yeah. It's okay. The same people that did Firewatch, or published it, at least. Firewatch and something else that I remember.
I love Firewatch.
Yeah, me too. They did something else, and I can't remember what the other stuff was. The publisher, anyway, yeah. Not the developer.
Yeah. The only thing I see here that they developed was Kraken Academy.
Well, so there's that. Was there another one on the list that I was curious about? There was, and it's drawn a blank. Oh, yeah, Spigot was playing it, which, I mean, Spigot, I see Spigot online right now. Spigot plays a lot of indie stuff. And there's another one called Tactical Breach Wizards that I've I'm kind of interested in that one as well. So, but I haven't played them. It's been Snap and Duck Detective. That has been it for me on what I've played. Untitled Goose Game is the one you're thinking about, Ben O'Brien. I watched someone play Angry Goose Game or something similar. It was rather entertaining. You can pick up Untitled Goose Game and Duck Detective, I think. In a bundle, or it might have been Goose Game with Thank Goodness You're Here. I can't remember. Memory fuzzy. Duke, since you're with us, what did you play?
I'm playing the remaster. I'm playing three games right now. just trying to finish my Baldur's Gate playthrough with my co-op of four on Thursday nights. It's taken a lot longer than I thought.
Oh, that's nice. You got a group of four who play every Thursday?
Yeah, we don't advance. Like, we have the same story, and we just try to go through it together. Each person has a character, and yeah, we've been doing that since the game launched, and we still haven't finished our playthrough yet. It's just, yeah, but that's my Thursday night game, so I don't not really want to talk about it. I'm not really too into Baldur's Gate. It's basically, I can't even believe I'm still playing it, to be honest with you. it's just, especially when you're playing with four people on a turn-based game, a lot of time you're just sitting there waiting and you're trying to figure out what they're doing. And
you guys aren't talking to each other to say what you're doing, or
yeah, we're like in Discord together, but it's just, you know, you see their characters make a lot of noise. You're like, what are you doing over there? And then they finally do something. It's like, okay. It's not. I mean, it's great that the co-op's there. I have another complaint about the camera too. I think they should have given us like a free floating camera when you're waiting for people to finish. I should be able to kind of like move my camera around the room anywhere I want, rather than just kind of have it. I'm kind of like stuck. It's almost like it's tied to me like a bungee cord. Like, I can't go too far.
Really? I didn't know that it limited you.
Yeah, you can't go, like, I want to be able to, like, when I'm dead in Counter-Strike, I can, like, fly through walls, I can see everything. I want to be able to kind of do that in this game. That's kind of why I think I have the knee-jerk reaction to do it, is because that's what I do when I'm dead in Counter-Strike.
Oh.
But I just want to be able to see things too. Like it's on the other side of the room, and sometimes you just can't do it.
Aren't turn-based strategies like that though? Normally,
I thought so.
A locked position, and you have to strategize based on the terrain or whatever. I mean, it would be nice to look around and see what the area or anything.
I know in BG3 that you can only look so far ahead with it populating what may be in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Without
it's like as you're traversing, but if you've already explored an area and you're just in combat, I'm not saying that I should like see things that I need to inspect or like failed perception stuff,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But just like let me like look at this view of my teammate attacking, you know, somebody else. I can click on the character, I suppose, and do it that way. But I like to free position my camera, and I think I'm just annoyed by that. It's a nitpick of a complaint, but it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, that was just one of the things that never got me into the turn-based strategies. It's the JRPGs. It's the waiting. I have to wait, waiting my turn in an action game. It just doesn't jive right with me.
I know.
I mean, if I'm going to attack,
I've never liked it either.
I want to go get in there and go. Not wait my turn.
Have three other characters to decide with, right? Because now I'm making three. If I'm fighting like 10 guys, okay, I have to wait for them all to go through. But if I have three characters, I don't. I have one, you know, because the other three, my real life friends are taking up that spot. But enough about Baldur's Gate. People are obsessed with it, and it's just not my jam. But the other game that just kind of sort of came out that I've been playing is the remaster of Doom and Doom 2.
Oh, yeah. Those were announced, or I guess, what, last week? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, and they just, like, added it to your account if you already owned it. Right. Which is great. And then it's got full... It's got, you know... Basically, they've been going down all the games and remastering. Like, they did Quake 1, they did Quake 2. They remastered both those. And then they settled on Doom and Doom 2, which is, you know, classic game for me. So,
right.
Playing through those. And then they have, like, new campaigns, just like mm-hmm. the other two. So I haven't gotten to those yet, but it's just fun to go back and do some old school shooting.
Yeah, I saw that where they had announced that from, what, QuakeCon or something from last 2 weeks ago or something like that. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, after they do that, I'm just not sure what they would go after, you know.
I don't know. Well, they've got, what do they have? They have the other Doom game being released, or did it already release?
Oh, yeah, no. I saw the...
Can't remember the name of it. Like Demon Knight or something, I don't know.
It's like...
Doom the Dark Ages?
Doom the Dark Ages, yes.
Yeah.
Doom the Dark Ages, yeah. Which, I mean, I don't know when it's due to release. Do you have something in front of you there that says that?
It's 2025.
Coming 2025.
2025, yeah. Because, I mean, this week we got... is Outlaws this week? Steve?
I thought it was...
Outlaws. Oh,
late.
Sorry, I was like, Outlaws, what is that?
late August, wasn't it?
It is late August. I think we have one more week.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is the final week of August. Monday begins the final week of August. Because, by the way, show note, we're not doing a show next week. Labor Day weekend here.
Oh, yeah. It is Labor Day.
It's August 30th, yeah.
Yep, so Friday. And then, of course, I'm going on vacation after that as well. So I'm not going to be able to play it after I get it.
And when does Space Marine 2 hit?
September 2nd, I think.
Oh, so the day. that's Labor Day. That's Monday. It's a week from this Monday is when that launches.
I was wrong. September 9th.
Okay.
Another week.
Yeah, man. And right now, blowing up the charts is Black Myth Wukong, I believe.
Black Myth Wukong, yeah.
Yeah. Any interest in that one there?
Zero.
Okay.
Zero interest. Yeah, I'm not gonna bother. I mean, it seems to me. I had a friend that started playing it. It's like, yeah, it's okay. It's like, you know, kind of Souls combat with characters, and it's okay. But man, it destroyed the concurrent Steam player load.
It did massively mm-hmm. well. I was kind of surprised by that. I didn't know that that was on so many people's radar.
No, it would never. It was on nobody's radar. It was like 90% China, I think, was the entire. I mean, that's why people were shocked. I'm like, what is this game? And then 10% of the U.S. were playing it, but 2.2 million on launch day.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I saw that. This has got to be a few years back or so. And mm-hmm. and I was like, wow, that looks really, really good. I didn't say it looked fun. I just said it looked really, really good. It was pretty. And I really liked what I was seeing, but I remember also being like, I don't know how this plays. If it's a Souls-like, then, you know, oh well. I don't feel bad for missing out because I don't take to those games.
I don't think it's total Souls because, I mean, it's more action or, you know, than Souls.
Yeah. But,
I think more of Ninja Gaiden.
Yes. Sigma.
I think more of Ninja Gaiden.
I mean, that's still
more than that.
That was still a hard game.
Well, yeah, it was one of the things it was known for, but it was more fast-paced, action-oriented than a Dark Souls. Dark Souls type. But yeah.
I don't think we had the word Souls-like at that time.
No,
when Sigma or Black released.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Black or Sigma? Ninja Gaiden Black, and then there was Ninja Gaiden Sigma?
I think Sigma was the compilation of all of them, wasn't it?
Was it? Okay.
I think it was.
I just remember it being difficult.
Yeah.
It was like, this does not feel like the NES game that I played where I, you know, scurried up the side of a building with my ninja claws.
Yeah. I mean, but an action-oriented game based off of a popular story like Journey to the West, I mean, kind of easy to see why it got such ride, especially in China, but... trickle down here, and yeah,
it really did well here. It really did well here. So, you know, glad for everybody that's playing that and enjoying that.
Mm-hmm.
We got to take a break here, Steve. I don't know how long you can hang around, but
I get another segment.
Okay, yeah, we're gonna when we come back. I don't know. Did you watch the Gamescom thing?
Other than the weird PS5 announcement for the Bethesda game that everybody's clamoring about. That's about all I watched.
I would have to, since I have a tab, I have a website open that goes over the list of everything that was shown off. I'll have to get to that, but we'll go over some of that. When we come back, we've got music here from, here's another game that is on my wish list that I haven't picked up, but I'm very curious about it. It's Lorelei with the Laser Eyes.
Mm.
It's Lorelei and the Laser Eyes. That's the name of the game. It's a puzzle type thing. I want to say it was done... Nope. Don't let me say that because I'm actually wrong on that. I was thinking of something else. Anyway, Lorelei with Laser Eyes. This is a track called A House or a Maze. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. This is music from a game that I played on Game Pass way back when, because these, I guess, are games from May. This is Haunty. H-A-U-N-T-I-I. Haunty. It's called Call of the Stars. It's a nice little puzzler-type game. I say puzzler. It's, you know, you figure things out, I suppose. But it is on Game Pass, or was. I think it probably still is. Seems kind of an indie title, but I really enjoyed it. And that is music from there as well. All right, Gamescom. happened on Tuesday, and we had like a 2 hour video, or actually longer than that if you count the pre-show that showed up before that. But it was a lot of stuff announced. The 30-minute pre-show had Dave the Diver's different crossovers that they had. Also, Begone Beast, which looked like a co-op type of thing. Construction Sim Roadcraft. There was also Inotria, the Last Song, which said it was like a Souls-like. There was Cairn, the rock climbing game that we had, that we talked about, actually, a good while back. A life sim called Inzoi, I think, or Inzoi? It's got to be Inzoi. It's from the publishers of PUBG. And they showed off some more of Terry in Street Fighter VI. Mm-hmm. So that was... Oh, there was also a new game from Sniper Elite called Sniper Elite Resistance coming next year. Something that looked exactly like Donkey Kong Country. But it was Nico DiRico? The Magical World, I guess? Yeah. We Harvest Shadows, which was a first-person farming horror allegory. I thought that was an interesting description for a video game. First-person farming horror allegory. Yeah, I know. It sounds like I'm saying Karen, but it's Karen. C-A-I-R-N. Karen. I'm not exactly sure if I'm saying it right. What else do we have? A spooky-looking game called Ayla, A-I-L-A. Journey to the Savage Planet got a sequel called Revenge of the Savage Planet. Tribal 9, which was an action RPG. And what else do we have? Detective 8020, which is from the Supermassive guys. This is part of the Dark Pictures anthology. Or at least a dark... It's the subtitle is called A Dark Pictures Game, Directive 8020. Mm-hmm. So something for you to look forward to there, RJ.
Yeah.
Then we got into the show proper. And I will ask you, RJ, and Steve, and anybody else. Anyone excited for Borderlands 4?
It's been a long time since I've been excited for anything in Borderlands. I think I mentioned before, Borderlands 2 was the height of my... excitement for
Borderlands. We talked about this off the air, I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think we talked about it off the air.
Because we were talking about the pre-sequel and everything else.
Yeah, Borderlands 2 was the height of my excitement for Borderlands, and then I played Borderlands, the pre-sequel, and the problem was I couldn't find a single character that was interesting enough for me to play through as, and I just really couldn't get into it. And Borderlands 3 was pretty much the same thing. Couldn't really have the same amount of enjoyment I got from Roland Axton or Brick. I mean, any of the characters like that. None of the characters like inspired me to go play as that person. I couldn't really get into it. So it's been all downhill from since 2 and 4 that I really didn't look at or think about because the previous two games didn't do anything for me. So
yeah,
it's one of those situations where I'm just have to wait and see. It's definitely not something I would pick up day one.
Right.
It would just be something I'd look at and wait and see what it's all about before I even think about considering picking it up.
Yeah, I'll need some previews. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say the exact same experience for me as RJ is I would call it with Borderlands 4 like an intermediate, you know, game that I would play in between a game that I'm waiting to come out. Like that's how I would, hey, I don't have anything to play. Oh, let's play Borderlands 4 while we wait for Space Marine 2.
Right.
Exact same high on Borderlands 2 as RJ did. I thought that was like the peak of writing, and it was funny, and probably the best DLC package I've ever seen in a launch. I played the pre-sequel. It was a buggy mess. It was like no QA was done to it at all. Game-breaking bugs, falling through the map. Like no problems with Borderlands 2 at all, and Borderlands pre-sequel was just the exact opposite. And then Borderlands 3, I did play. Again, we used it as a stepping stone for another game that we were waiting. So it's like, hey, it's a co-op game. Let's go co-op.
Let's go co-op it, right? Did you pick that up on Epic or Steam?
On Steam, I think. Yeah, I didn't I didn't jump forward on Epic at all.
See, here's something I'm curious about. And I'm always curious about these things, especially when there is something that feels like this could have gone differently if they had done it differently. And things like that always make me wonder, like, what does that timeline look like, you know? Because it was an Epic exclusive at a time when people were actively saying, yeah, that's not going to – I'm going to wait. And they knew because they gave a time, and they gave a time as far as this is exclusive to Epic Games, and I think it released in like April or May on the Epic Games Store, and said it won't come to Steam, I don't think, until like September, or was it a year later or something? I can't remember how long the...
Pitchfork came out and said that the Steam would be a dying store.
Yeah, I know.
This is justification. Are you alluding to the ISGN article?
Not necessarily. I'm more just saying if he had not taken the Epic exclusivity and released it on both platforms, would we have gotten to Borderlands 4 quicker? Would there be more hype for it because people would have jumped in on Borderlands? The reason that I say this is because I feel like after so long of being on Epic, people weren't excited when it got released on Steam. It had already been out for ever how long. And people were like, nah, I got other stuff I can play. That's, you know, that thing's a year old, even though it's just now releasing on Steam, ever how old it is. I don't remember. But
well, let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
You're launching a game. A publisher comes to you or a storefront comes to you and say, hey, we're going to give you $146 million up front to have exclusive rights to your game for whatever it is, 18 months, 2 years.
Yeah.
How do you turn that down? Especially if you think that your game is like maybe a borderline, step up from the previous thing.
Right.
Like you don't think it's going to do crazy money and be like, okay, I'm going to take my chances that $146 million is going to actually be more than what I would do if I released it, you know, everywhere. And that's exactly what Gearbox did.
It is.
That's much money that Epic paid. And Epic can be blamed just as much as Valve can, you know, with their high percentage takes, right? Like, this is the game that everybody's playing. If Epic's willing to shell out that money, I don't blame developers for saying, yeah, I'm going to be a part of that. And you guys can have exclusive rights for that time period, and then when it's over, we'll go to Steam, which is what everybody does.
I don't blame them for taking the money. I'm just curious what the timeline looks like where that exclusivity didn't happen. I'm curious what it looks like when it gets a release on all systems everywhere same time, and does that change the narrative for the game as far as what happened to it? You know,
yeah.
The only thing I can see changing is the initial numbers.
Agreed, RJ, because the thing that gets revealed is that Epic made that $80 million back in the first 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean for the rest of that 40 million? Was it 146? So it was 66 million remaining. Like, was that time period on Epic, did that make the money back for Gearbox, or was it less? Like, did people just not buy it on Epic at all? And then obviously Gearbox is like, okay, now I got our money and we're going to release it on Steam and people are going to buy it there and play it there.
Right.
So yeah, it's a numbers game.
It is. It always is. And now, you know, and I just wonder if after that with 3, the film, basically Randy Pitchford, regardless, if Borderlands 4 has any gas in the tank, you know, and it's a...
I wonder if Epic said, like, told him to say that too. Like, I don't know if you actually believe that Steam was a dying store. I mean, come on.
Really? I would honestly laugh if somewhere in their agreement says, as part of this deal, Randy must tweet that the Steam store is dying. You know what I'm saying? Or something. As part of this deal, Randy Pitchford must make some statement about how Epic is better than Steam. I don't think that was in there. I would laugh if that was the case, because and I say that I don't think it was in there because people have obviously nobody forgets on the internet, or well, the internet never forgets. So people have shown that to him and said, "Hey, man, it's been 5 years where you said 5 years ago Steam was going to be a dying store. What do you say to that now?" And he's completely said, "You know, I was wrong. You know, he owned up to it." I mean, Randy's got some questionable history.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it and covered it, I think, way long time ago. Mm-hmm. Some things that just can be very difficult to talk about. But yeah, there's some. I don't necessarily know whatever came of that. I think it was more allegations than it was, or accusations more than it was anything that was proven with that. But I just don't know that Borderlands 4 is going to have any legs. We'll see with whatever it's going to release up against or around that time or whatever it has to offer. I completely will eat those words if they show off something where I'm like, hey, that's sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll get back into that. Sure. I would
be a middle of the road shooter. You know, it's not going to do great. It's not going to do poorly. It's going to pop up on the top 10 list on launch day and then, you know, trickle down to the 40s and then off the 100 list. That's what's going to end up happening.
Hopefully by the time everybody will have forgotten the film, if that has any
thing that they kind of wish that the movie was still in theaters so that they could, you know, maybe put the Borderlands 4 announcement in front of that, like at the
right
movies.
Yeah. And maybe they were gonna and then they said no, we can't. I don't know what the situation was in that, but it's not doing well. I figure you're gonna be able to watch that digitally here in about a week. It's not gonna that and The Crow not gonna stay in the theaters very long. What else did we get? We got a look at Call of Duty Black Ops 6. Sure. We got a trailer for Goat Simulator Remastered, which it's Goat Simulator. Persona.
Let's remaster everything. Let's just keep remastering things.
I know.
They're out of ideas.
No, that's DLC. Persona 3 Reload is DLC. Mm-hmm. Dying Light the Beast. I guess that's another.
Is on my radar a little bit.
So yeah.
Well, it's a game. It's a game that I call. I gotta think of a word for it. A better word for it. It's gonna be, you know, let's play this while we wait for this to come mm-hmm. out. I do own Dying Light 2. I have it installed actually, but I'm not gonna. I'm waiting. I'm playing another game right now, Dead Island 2, which is another Monday thing that I'm doing. Yeah, I know it. But we're waiting for Space Marine. We're waiting for these other games to come out. So it's like, hey, let's play through this. It's a co-op game. We could screw around there for a while.
Yeah.
And then when our other game comes out, we'll jump on it. So yeah, Dying Light 2 is one of those things. It's a zombie game. You know, you can always kill zombies. It's just mindless.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe have some fun. Maybe make fun of the game while you're playing it.
It's still got that base building aspect in it, doesn't it?
Dying Light 2?
Yeah.
I say base building,
but like upgrading your base and stuff like that with different traps so the zombies can't get in at night and stuff like that. Was that it? Or Dying? I'm thinking of Dying Light, right? Yeah. Not Dead Island, but Dying Light.
But was that a mechanic in the first game?
I may be thinking of State of Decay.
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
State of Decay.
Okay.
Which I liked as well.
Yeah, yeah. That's another one of those, let's do this while we wait for this type of thing. Because it's got the co-op and the building and everything else. Black Myth Wukong had a launch trailer, which is, I mean, we've already talked about Black Myth. It's doing amazingly well. Dragon Ball Sparking Zero. This is the section where I just kind of fast-forwarded. King of Meat announcement trailer. Again, another one where it's just like, nope, zip on along. Linked Banner of Spark. It's a co-op roguelike hack and slash with cute robots. October 22nd on the release of that one. Early access, by the way. Lost Records, Bloom and Rage. This is from the game, the people who did Life is Strange. So there's that one. No More Room in Hell 2. Bet it's got zombies. Something like that.
Never heard of the first one, have you?
I have, but I never paid attention to it because it's 8-player permadeath co-op, and it's in horror. And I'm just like, eh, not big. Ark Raiders from the folks who did The Finals, which I have not played. Have you played The Finals, Steve?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Heard good things about it, but I never got into it. So there's that. A game called Infinity Nikki, which I think is also like a phone game or something like that, but they're bringing it over to PCs or PS5 maybe. I don't know the point.
Artsy costume dress up RPG.
Yeah, costume dress up RPG. So, yeah. And there's a closed beta you can sign up. Space Marine 2 got another trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Looks really good. What else do we get? Predecessor. A game called Predecessor. It's a MOBA shooter type thing.
Promising to redefine the MOBA shooter genre.
Yeah. Okay. And we got to look at Path of Exile 2, which is something I'm interested in. And that,
I played Path of Exile.
I did too.
But I played Path of Exile back when I was annoyed with Diablo 3. And then Diablo 4 came out and kind of changed my perspective on everything.
Ah, okay. Well, this release is November 15th, actually early access, November 15th. Of this year. We're at the top of the hour, and we're going to take a break and come back and finish going over the games of Gamecom. We have Dune Awakening still to talk about. Also Reanimal, Monster Hunter Wilds, and a couple of other things in there. Monument Valley 3 as well. Anyway, that's all coming up right after we come back from this break. It is music. You good to stick around, Steve?
I am. You haven't talked about one big one.
I know. We're getting to them.
Tease that tip for everybody.
You know what? There's a lot. So I'm not exactly sure which. Not Civ 7, probably.
I'll write it in chat.
Huh?
I'll write it in chat.
Okay. I definitely want to talk about Secret Level. That is something I'm really, 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 really interested in and happy that they're doing. We'll be right back. Here is music from Hellblade 2. This is the Draugr Arena. We'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. Welcome back in to in-game chat. This is music from a game called Morbid, The Lords of Ire. The track is called Monstrosity.
Yeah, I'm thinking this is either an epic chase in a game or a boss battle of some type.
Probably something like that.
Yeah.
Most of the tracks I remember from that game were not very, they were more atmospheric than they were epic.
Yeah.
I try to avoid the atmospheric because a lot of times atmospheric is just this single tone or this... I'm not sure exactly what it's called. There's a term for it beyond atmospheric, but yeah, it's just sort of a sound, nothing really distinctive, you know.
Yeah,
and they're trying to have something in there
that makes me think of I want to say Samurai Showdown 2 when I played that. There was a character in there named Jubei, Jubei Yagyu, and if I'm not mistaken, his stage. The majority of the sound in his stage was wind whistling through the bamboo trees.
Right, right.
That was basically what it was, with the occasional string sounds coming through. But for the most part, you just heard wind going through the trees.
That was it, huh?
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
But it was nice, though. It was nice to, like, it would be something to use for the good for like, white noise before you go to bed or something.
White noise, that's a good way to describe it, what I was talking about. Just, you know, white noise, that's it. Mm-hmm. Going back to Gamescom with all the, 2 hours of, 2.5 hours of just nothing but game. I mean, it was back to back to back to back to back. Dune Awakening was something we had to look up. And that is, it's an MMO that I am very interested in. There's just a bunch, you can build your bases, you can build your... vehicles. I'm really, really interested. Early 2025 is when it's going to be launched on PC, but I'm highly interested in Dune Awakening. The next thing we got was a brand new game from Tarsier Studios, which are the creators of Little Nightmares, which I thought we were, because they said, hey, from the people who made Little Nightmares 1, Little Nightmares 2, here's a new game. And I'm thinking, well, it's Little Nightmares 3, because it sure does look like Little Nightmares 3. But it's not. It's a game called Reanimal. It's a side-scrolling spookathon that looks very much like Little Nightmares, which, by the way, they are making a Little Nightmares 3, because that was also shown off. Hmm. So, there's no date yet for that game. Genshin Impact, there was a new character, I guess, or something for an update. I don't play it. Monster Hunter Wilds, I know there's people who are listening, who are probably watching right now, who are listening right now, or who are listening later on, that would really like to know more about that, and you're perfectly fine to go out there and find that trailer and do it. I didn't watch it. I skipped it. I tried Monster Hunter, and I couldn't get into it. So, yeah, didn't do that. Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves, which is something you're probably interested in, I would imagine, right? You do the Fatal Fury thing, don't you? Yeah, it's coming out April 24th of next year. What did we got an official trailer for this. What else? 22 characters in City of Wolves, plus 5 more when you buy the season pass for DLC. So, yeah, it'll be on PS5, PS4, Xbox, Steam, and Epic Games as well. Mecha Break, which was a 6v6 mech battler. It looked very interesting. I'm not a big mech guy. I didn't do Armored Core, and I'm not big on that. Although, for whatever reason, this made me want to try it. Looking at this made me want to say, hey, I would like to give that game in particular, a shot and see if maybe this mech game pulls me in.
Mm-hmm. It did. The video they showed looked really cool.
There was another game
like this a couple years ago that came out, and it actually failed pretty quickly, but it reminded me of that game, and I'm trying to remember what game that was, but I played it at PAX East, so I'm like, oh my god, this game is It was like, it was almost like Counter-Strike for mechs.
It wasn't Hawken, was it?
Oh, it was Hawken. That
okay.
It was fast paced like this Mecha Break.
The thing I liked about Hawken, and I played it in VR as well when they did the whole thing where you could see the whole inside of your mech. Like, it was VR. You just turned your head and there everything was.
I love that.
There's a guy named Jason, and I'm a friend with his on Twitter. He was lead dev on Hawken. Mm-hmm. And then he went to work for Blizzard and worked on Diablo 4, early on Diablo 4. I don't know what he does now, but the thing I loved about Hawken, the level design was beautiful. Like, you wanted to look at some kind of Neo-Tokyo type thing, like stuff you've seen in animes and well, animes. Things like that. Looked the whole setting, the whole maps of everything looked great. I really, really loved that about the game, even though I barely paid attention to that setting. The ones that I did see were just beautiful. Beautiful looking. And the hangar where your mech is and all this other stuff. It was really, really good. I'm interested in that. Monument Valley 3, I was excited to hear about. I just hated the fact that it's exclusive to Netflix, which I don't subscribe to anymore. I'll play that at some point. I don't know when, but I really, really like Monument Valley. And so they were getting a 3, and I'm interested in it. Civilization 7. Bama Bryan says, why do they keep making Civ games? And Steve says, that's because they keep making money. I mean, they do. This is the longest, however, that we have gone in between Civ games, which feels very strange. It doesn't feel like it was that long ago that Civ 6 launched. But it is 8-year difference, I think.
Wow. Goodness. October 21st, 2016 on Steam.
Yeah. Yep. That was Civ 6. And I probably bought it a year or 2 years after that, whenever it was, you know, here's your Game of the Year edition that has everything into it, you know? Picked it up on a sale of some sort, I'm sure, or Humble Bundle or whatever. But I haven't owned it for all of those 8 years that it's been between then and now. I say now, but it's coming in February of next year, so it'll be another year before it releases.
I got like a weird relationship with Civ 5 or Civ because I'm a big city builder guy. Like I love
you. You and me both with City Skylines. Yeah.
And that's kind of how I play Civ too. I don't really, I try to build it how I would want like a civilization to look, not how the game wants me to like, you know, advance. And, but yeah, I haven't played 6. I think 5 was the last one I played. I own 6. I think I bought it in a sale for like $6. And yeah, I just never got around to it. But I think that was because City Skylines existed through all those years, and I think that was just a more satisfying game. Scratched my city builder itch more than I think Civ did.
Yeah, because probably
Civ was out, and Civ 4, like we didn't have SimCity was in, you know, I guess EA hell.
SimCity's dead to me. Yeah, with the exception of maybe going back to SimCity 2000 or whatever, SimCity's dead.
And when did SimCity 2000 come out? 2000.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. SimCity, and there was another SimCity as well, and I can't remember. It wasn't just 2000. It was another
SimCity
one.
SimCity 4 came out, so there was a 3 at some point. But SimCity 4 was like the last decent SimCity.
Yeah, you're right. 4 was the last one, and then 5, they screwed it up. I think 5 had potential, but they really screwed it up. They really screwed it up. And you knew that when Paradox, old unknown colossal games over there, says, hey, we're going to build a little city builder. We're out of Sweden or Norway or wherever they were. I can't remember. And here's our little game, little city builder. And everybody's like, this is way better than the king of city builders. I mean, the absolute mountain of city builders just got kicked off the top of their perch by this little company.
They released very close to each other, too. It was SimCity for that new rebranded EA game, mm-hmm. where they charge you like $5, you know, to get a hospital, like to add on to the game. And then, like you said, a dev of like 12 people came up with City Skylines and just blew that game out of the water.
Man, it was really good. But yeah, Civ 7, I saw some gameplay of it. Looked really great. I didn't hear, you know, Civ is a game where it's like, I don't necessarily need to see gameplay. They probably tweaked a few things, but at this point, when you're 7 games into something like Civilization, you've gotten it down. All you're doing now is just kind of keeping up with the looks of things, you know, with the times of things and that sort of, and just kind of freshening up. Mm-hmm. You're tweaking a little bit here and there, but you're not making really major changes because you have found your path. You have found this is what works. We're going to stick with this. We're just going to update it. And they've also found that, because they knew this from Civ 4, honestly, this game hasn't, I don't think, has changed drastically since about Civ 4, maybe Civ 5?
Sounds like getting into sports game territory.
Really, you kind of are. So, like Civ 4, that's when they changed it and went to, I don't know, there was a couple of different things that major changes they made with Civ 4. And honestly, I can't, because there's been 2 more games after that, and this is spanning probably over a decade now, easily, I can't remember what Civ 4 changed from 3 and 2 and 1 that kind of set it on this path. I do not actually remember what it was, but there was a big change from 3 to 4. And they've kept that change as they go to 5, 6, and now 7 as well. It doesn't really switch too much in what they do. They've added some things. They've taken away some things. They've said eras, you know, take longer now or take shorter now. You know, little tweaks here and there, but nothing that is one of those like, hey, it's a major change to the genre of what this is. No, nothing like that I know of. But that's fine because people keep buying it. Just like Duke Frugum said in the chat room, they keep making money off of it. People keep buying these things and keep coming back to them over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It is the Civilization is the birth of one more turn type of thing. You know, like I'll read one more page or I'll do one more chapter. That in the gaming world is like, I will do one more turn and then I'll go to bed. And 3 hours later, just one more turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got. Ooh, this may be something. Have you been back into Starfield, Steve?
I hope this is where you're going, because
the vehicle.
No, I haven't. So no. I haven't gotten back into Starfield, but there's a Bethesda game, or Bethesda published game that we need to get to that might even go down a rat hole.
I mean, if you want to jump to the indie thing, that's fine.
I do.
Okay, go for it.
But yeah, indie was shown, release date December 8th of this year. That's all great, and then announced for PS5.
Yeah. Are you? So, where do you? I mean, I think that's cool. I think it's great. I think it's worth the fact that they're going to release it on other properties. I have no problem with that.
This makes no sense to me. This makes zero sense. Like, as if you're looking at it from a business, I mean, okay, let me step back for a second.
Okay.
Why did they buy Bethesda if they're going to be releasing this game on PlayStation?
Mm.
What are they doing?
I don't know.
I'm trying to figure it out. It doesn't make any sense. Like, how much did they pay? How much did they buy Bethesda for? How many billions?
Oh, God, it was a lot. 60 some odd billion dollars, right? Wasn't it?
But you're making hardware still, and you're telling people that you're releasing the game on another area of your competitor.
Didn't Phil do an interview where he talked about that? Let me look at that.
He said, it sounds to me like Microsoft proper is putting pressure on the gaming division to make more money.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they are.
But I'm wondering if... And there's a lot of theories about this. If they're even going to be bothering doing any type of proprietary hardware the next console generation, like, are they going to go down a road where maybe there's some like hybrid Windows Xbox thing that you could basically install, you know, kind of like Steam, right? Like open, where you could install, you can mod, you could do all kinds of things too. Because I mean, that has never been the console way. But I'm trying to figure out where they're going with, unless they're just struggling that badly. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we need to make more money, and we own this game. We want it to have a wide release. We know how many Xboxes we've sold, and it's not going to come close to justifying this as an exclusive for the console. Because even if everybody who owns a console buys this, it's not going to make enough money for us to, you know, that's going to justify us developing it.
Yeah, I mean, you just asked how much do they spend on that purchase, and I mean, they got to make that money back somehow, the $67 billion or whatever. And I'm sure they've looked. You know, I say this all the time because I feel like a business has their, you know, their thumb on. Well, I say their thumb, but their put it this way, their finger on the pulse of not culture, not pop culture, not what people want. But their own finances. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've crunched their own numbers to realize, here's what we've got to do for this game to be profitable, or for us to count it as being profitable, whatever the case may be. I don't exactly know how they look at this. When you buy a company, you get so many games with it, not necessarily just one. So it's curious to me as to how they look at it when they release something like this. It's a massively popular IP. I don't know how great the game's going to be, but that IP alone has a built-in base, like a built-in consumer. And it will sell consoles, and for the people that don't buy the console to play that game, the ones who have PS5 will buy that game to play it. So, I mean, I've never been...
I get so worried if it's going to sell consoles, because, I mean, nothing else has.
So that's a good question. This I think, though, I think it possibly will. Maybe not a lot, but I think there are. I think that property has enough fan base to say, well, I want to play that game, and I'm going to buy that console to do that. And plus, they also, around this time, they're going to be releasing revisions of the consoles, I believe, right? The Xbox S, X, and then the all-digital X, I believe, are all getting a revision or something being released this fall or holiday season, I guess you could call it. So, and I know Sony doesn't have anything coming out this fall with the exception of possibly the PlayStation 5 Pro or something like that, a new revised console as well.
I forgot about that. I didn't even kept up with that, but
right.
I wonder if there's like, if Starfield's going to end up coming to PS5 at this point. Like, if is that going to be some kind of announcement, you know, around the same time that Indy comes? And they haven't given like a specific release date. They just say 2025. But I mean, Microsoft has all the technology to kind of do something. They should be in a way better position than Sony. You know, they have.
Well, I don't feel that they're in a bad position.
I mean, if the PS5 is outselling them 2-1.
Oh, yeah? Okay, I haven't looked at that.
It's like 60 million PlayStation 5 sold, and they've got barely 30, I think, last time I looked.
Well, I get what do you think is the drive for that? Is it the library? Is it the exclusives that Sony has with the Gods of Wars and the Last of Us and the Uncharted's and the...
It's always been about the games. It's always been about what games, you know, you're going to put on the console to move the hardware. And if you're going to spend the millions to even develop the hardware just to put your first-party titles on another competitor, then you're not going to be moving more hardware. People aren't going to be buying Xboxes because Indy 5 is coming out on Xbox a couple months before PS5. If you have an Xbox by now, you know, or people who don't have an Xbox aren't going to be like, oh my god, I need to get an Xbox for Indy. That's just not, especially in this state of the console cycle.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that, and which makes me wonder why there's the delay on the release and not just being on both consoles at the same time as it releases. Kind of makes me wonder why would you delay? Possibly it's something in a contract. Possibly it was part of the deal whenever they something where they could get through. You know how they were having problems trying to buy the company.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I feel like this is one of those things where it's possible that this is a concession that they made in order to, you know, get past the law or the naysayers or whoever was trying to block them buying and say, no, we're going to release things and here's one of them we're going to do and it'll be time or whatever. I don't know.
Time will tell if this is just, you know, a monetary move, but this was rumored months ago that this was going to happen.
Right.
And so was Starfield, but like I was going back to, like, if you wanted to kind of create, if the next console generation is going to do something steamy, you know, like that, where you could have digital, because they want to get rid of physical media, right? Like they're trying to get away from that. They want subscriptions. They want people to buy Game Pass. You have a solid Game Pass, you know, customer base, even though you've kind of changed the tiers, and I think a lot of people are upset about that. But you also have Microsoft Azure. You know, you have Windows, you have all these things that you kind of put you in a place that Sony doesn't have, and they still can't figure out, you know, what they're doing from between that hardware and their subscription model. It feels like they're stuck. And, you know, again, like I said, the next console generation, I think, is going to look very different.
I hope it does, honestly. I really hope it does. I mean, I look back, not just in video games, but almost anything. The amount of physical media that I have bought is, I could count on one hand.
Same.
You know?
Same for me. Like, I go back and look at all my collections. Like, I go PS1, PS2, PS3, PS4, and I don't even own a PS5, so I can't even look at PS5. But, I mean, each one of those, like, drastic different. I mean, of course, I'm older now, so I have less time to play games. But out of the games that were worth buying, it's a fraction of what it used to be.
Now, the interesting thing about that is that RJ, you're different than the two of us, right? You are down for the physical media.
I still get physical media when I buy a game.
Yeah,
yeah. Unless there's no way I can get it physically. It is digital only. I mean, I've run into that before. But yeah, I'm still purchasing physical media, despite the trend that everyone's setting, because it is true what they're doing. It is true that they're trying to get you to pay more and more.
Well, it cuts out the middleman. Yeah, yeah.
So subscriptions, which I'm totally against as well. Like I'll try to refuse as much as I can. But I'm curious, RJ. Like, why not just buy straight out, like flat out digital? Like, what is the? Tell me about what.
I guess it's just the collector in me and the idea of having it. Actually having it and it can't be taken away. But then Scott told me about It's just a code. The discs are now just a code to get to the internet to get hold of the game nowadays.
You're going
to
download it anyway. You're downloading the digital version, whether you have a disc or not. At this point,
the disc just verifies that you bought it now. But yeah, I was still the mindset of having tangible physical in my hands. It can't be like something taken off of a network, failed somewhere, and suddenly I can't play my game anymore. That's the mentality I've had with the thing. It's having a solid backup on hand if need be. That's basically where it comes from. And like I said, the collector in me, because I've still collected, still collect things that's interesting to me and was interested in video games. So there you go.
Just like to have the physical. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just something to say to have, you know, sitting on your shelf and you look over to it and, I remember that, you know, play that. And
right. Because I still have physical media. I still have the box for Half-Life 2 sitting on my shelf.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
I know. It absolutely is crazy. I still have Gearbox's Halo PC box sitting on my desk. I still have Myst, Riven, all of those titles in box copy sitting on my desk. And if Myst, I think Abduction may have had a box copy release. I'm not sure. But if they were... Like, if something from a fan-favorite franchise was going to release a physical edition, I'm going for that.
Yeah.
To add it to what I had bought back when they weren't doing digital media. It was only physical when you did that. But for the most part, no, I'm going to buy digital. And for the most part, they're not releasing the physical. Duck Detective that I bought today, there's no physical copy of that somewhere. I have to buy that digital. Mm-hmm. Alan Wake 2, for the longest time. No, and it's going to now get a physical box copy, but for the longest time, and still now, it's digital only.
Yeah, digital only, yeah.
And the thing that the thing that I think about with that is the fact that it was also on sale long before this box copy was going to get released. Mm-hmm. I got it for like $25. Back when it, because there was Epic had a deal or a sale or something. And so a lot of the times, if I can find it cheaper before I can buy it physical, and when I buy physical, I am not going to buy used, by the way. No. just to let you know, if I'm looking for a game and physical is the only way I can find it, sure, I'll look for a used copy just to get it as cheap as possible.
Or if it's a dated game or something.
Like that, sure. Obviously, of course.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm going to buy new, and for the most part... it's just way more, it's way easier for me to pick it up cheaper online digitally for the most part.
Just go back real quick to your Half-Life 2 box.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing in that box, right? It was just a shell box with the Steam code in it?
No, there was a t-shirt in there.
Oh, right. The gold edition. Right?
Yeah, it's a black box that has the three faces of the characters on the front of it. And then inside was a t-shirt, and that t-shirt may still be in that box. I don't know.
There was something else too that came with that. I'm trying to remember, but
I don't remember what it was either.
Keychain sticker.
I don't remember,
decal,
dude.
Decal, something like that.
There was definitely a sticker, a Half-Life 2 sticker.
Yeah, maybe an art book, but probably not. And not definitely not a soundtrack either. I don't think. I'd have to look and see, but I do have it. Well, there may have been a link to get the soundtrack or something. Actually, at that point, probably not. I don't know. I don't know what it is. You know what? Now you're going to hit me. I got to go to the Google now. Half-Life 2 t-shirt box.
Yeah, soundtracks are a thing. Put it in there. Or something along those lines.
There it is. Yep. It's. I'm going to eBay here to tell you about this. Half-Life 2 Collector's Edition Big Box PC with unused t-shirt going on sale. It's on eBay here for $190.
Wow.
What did it come with?
That's actually not terrible. I think the whole package cost like $110.
In addition to Half-Life 2, this collector's edition also includes Counter-Strike Source. what else does it include? Half-Life Source. Free t-shirt. And Half-Life 2 Prima book. Information on character backgrounds, the making of the game, and more than 100 pieces of artwork. So that is what was...
I don't remember that at all.
Do what?
I don't remember that at all. In fact, if I go back through my Steam purchases, like, it doesn't even... Like, Half-Life 2 is not even on here. It stops at 2007.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No, it came with a disc, little CD jewel case there, and then the disc in there as well. I'm looking at this. This is on somebody's
eBay page.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm looking through it. There's the Prima book. There's some artwork. There's the T-shirt. I'm telling you, all this stuff I think is still in the box that is sitting on my desk. I know I cracked it open because I had to get the disc out to play the game.
Right.
But
right.
I don't think I did much other than that. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
Back to Microsoft and Bethesda. Like, I don't know. I can't wait to see what 2025 is going to look like from that, from all the releases. See what Microsoft's going to do. Just this just boggles my mind.
Well, I mean, I used to condemn companies that were doing, like, why would you only do, I mean, outside of getting, you know, money hats delivered to them, mm-hmm. big, you know, money trucks pulling up to their door and saying, look, it's only going to be on our console. However, this is a self-publisher, right? This is right. Microsoft doing the publishing on this. And why anybody, and why, look, Microsoft has put stuff on Nintendo. Nintendo has put stuff on, well, Nintendo has not done any of that. Nintendo won't do any of that. But the other companies will put stuff on the Nintendo system or something like that. Why limit the reach of your product is what I don't understand. And I know it's trying to sell consoles, but at the same time, you're missing out on a market of people mm-hmm. That... Your game alone costs $60, we'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
$60, your game alone costs that. People want to play that game and have to buy your console, they're looking at like $560, $460. You're adding a massive amount of money to play the one game.
Yeah.
And
it's not like you got the head mentality that I have. I'm not buying a console for one game.
Right.
I'm not doing that.
And there's a ton of people who aren't going to do that. There's a ton of people who look at that and say, man, I really want that indie game, but that's a $500 entry fee for me to just play that one game. Mm-hmm. And to let people know that, hey, it's going to be out on PlayStation 5 in the spring tells them that, okay, good, I'll buy it then because I have a PS5.
And I got a backlog anyway that I can get to.
And they'll pick it up then if they want to do that. I just never understood why they would do that. I know Square Enix did the deal with Microsoft for Tomb Raider. There was, what was that? It wasn't Epic, it was EA. Mm-hmm. Titanfall.
Okay.
The first one. Mm-hmm. Was limited to only Xbox and not PlayStation. I don't even think, maybe it made it to PC, I can't remember. Mm. But
yeah, it was on PC.
Yeah, it was on PC as well. But I was always confused as to like, why... Huh? Do what?
I don't think the first one was Titanfall. I think it was only the second one.
The second one got a... I thought the second one got a wide release, like all the systems.
Yeah, it did. I don't think the first Titanfall ever came to PC.
Oh, okay. That's what I see you're saying. Okay. No, it's on PC. I have it.
Well, you have it on like EA's...
EA thing. Origin. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. And I think that's where I played it when it was on PC. It was EA Origin. Because I do remember playing it with friends the first one. Nobody came around for the second, even though the second was really good. The multiplayer for the first one was fantastic. The story mode for the second was amazing mm-hmm. and great. And if you haven't played that, it's like $2. Go pick it up and play it.
Yeah, I look at how much it costs to develop hardware, you know, and look at it just from a long play, not a short play. So I know how much it costs for Microsoft to develop something like an Xbox Series X. And then on top of that, the acquisition of Bethesda, and they want people to stay in their ecosystem. So I'm mad for, I guess, Series X owners, because I don't really think I think you got a giant paperweight. I don't think there's any reason to own an Xbox. You buy a PS5 and then everything else comes to PC and that's it.
The thing I enjoy about the Xbox that I have is Game Pass. The subscription.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have an access, while I may not be buying any games, I'm paying that subscription and I can sit down in front of that console and look through a library of titles and say, oh man, I remember that. It's here on Game Pass. Now I can play it. And so I'll download it and I'll play it.
Yeah.
When I say I remember that, it's not some kind of like classic game or anything. It's just a game that released that I had forgotten was interesting. I was interested in. Yeah. It got released 2 or 3 months ago, and here it is on Game Pass. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I wanted to play that, and now I can.
Yeah, you got access to it.
If you have access to a subscription that gives you all the games, that's fine. But most people that I play with, we don't have subscriptions. Like, we don't want another subscription. We don't want to listen to a subscription for our music, for our games, for everything. Everything's a subscription.
Yeah.
And if I was to sit down and try and get the value out of that Xbox Game Pass subscription, I would never... ever get there.
Like, you subscribe to PlayStation Plus?
No, not anymore.
Okay.
I don't have any PlayStation like hooked up right now. So.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you had a PS5 or your friends had a PS5. I can't remember what it was.
No, I'm probably going to buy a PS5 only because for the Blu-ray player for my theater. But that comes with, you know, the added benefit of having a PS5 and playing some things, but
yeah, in my case, it's for playing online with folks. That league I'm with at Virtua Fighter 5 or any fighting game that I've got.
Yeah, if you're gonna play online, you've got to have PS Plus.
PlayStation Plus.
Yeah,
which is about I think Essential is around 80
a year.
80 a year.
Yeah,
I think right now. Yeah. So,
and people who say play for free on December 9th, that's not a true thing. You're paying a subscription for it. So you're paying month to month. You're probably paying more money to play it than you actually think you are.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. What was the deal with... I think it was EA. It was either EA Live. Is it Live? EA? Whatever. EA Play and then Ubisoft Plus or whatever that stuff is. I don't remember.
Each one of them is a subscription now. It's crazy.
They're all subscriptions, man. But you can sign up for them and then play the game for like the first 2 weeks or like do the trial and then unsubscribe.
Wow.
And you paid 15 or 30 bucks to play a $60 game, you know, and then you can do that again the next time if you want to.
So I can just wait for the Valve Christmas sale and buy it for $9.99.
Right. You know? I know. I absolutely know. Chris, you said you had... I'm sorry, RJ, go ahead.
I was saying you had... you were saying EA Play. EA Play, and I see EA Play and EA Plus. I'm seeing EA Play Pro.
Yeah, they got tiers.
Yeah, 120 for a full year. EA Play, 40 a year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that...
Yeah, yeah. No, it's absolutely like that. It is absolutely like that.
Top one, two. Everybody's got a subscription.
I the only one I subscribe to is Game Pass and PlayStation Plus. Those are the only two that I've subscribed to. As far as the game, I got a Humble Bundle subscription if you want to count that. But
you got to count that.
Yeah, I got one of those. I like those.
Is it high?
$12
per
a month.
Okay, yeah.
And I get eight games with it, you know, depending on what they are. Sometimes you can skip a month. If you don't like what's being offered, you can skip a month. Mm-hmm. But then you have to buy the next month. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you can skip a month if you want to. But you can't skip two concurrent months in a row. Mm-hmm. You have to do one or the, you know, you have to at least buy one. So the first, you know, whatever they're offering. And I don't know what they're offering for September because we're not done. What do they have for August here? Chris, go ahead. You said you had some points to make in the digital physical discussion. Chris? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we're going to go.
Drop though, guys. It's bat time and over here.
Oh, okay.
All right,
man. Well, we'll talk to you later, buddy.
Hang on. Yep,
good show. Great talking to you guys.
All right. See you, Steve.
See you.
Hey, Chris, you still there?
I'm here.
Yeah, what were you saying? You had some points on the digital physical thing?
As far as old anime, like some of the streaming services I subscribe to, some of the old stuff that I like to watch is no longer available anywhere else unless you have it on DVD. It's, you know, it's gone. You can't get it any other way.
Other than digital or physical?
Other than physical.
I bet there's a way to get it digitally. May not be a legal way to get it digitally, but I bet there's a way to get it digitally.
You know, I mean, legally, through other means, you know, no, but, you know, illegally, if somebody's... you know, got a, you know, you know, preserved it some other way on websites that are, you know, on the dark web or whatever, you know, yeah, but for other people that don't know about that or don't want to get into it, there's no other course than to spend the money to get the seasons, you know, to get the old stuff on, you know, a physical release of it.
Yeah.
And that one I'm talking about is called The Slayers. It was from the 90s. It's, you know, based, you know, it's like a role-playing game, you know, anime adventure, and You can't. I've looked around and you can't get in anywhere except maybe season one on YouTube and maybe video clips that people have uploaded. But if you want to watch everything, you have to get a DVD copy of everything that came out years ago.
Hmm.
So good luck finding that.
Yeah, good luck finding it. Exactly. Exactly.
And speaking of that series and stuff, as crazy as it is, the old Laserdisc format, I've got the complete series of everything on that TV series on Laserdisc from Japan, which, you know, I got it for the artwork and everything, but eventually those Laserdiscs will probably go out and they'll wear it out, you know, over the years.
Oh, yeah. They'll degrade over time just by sitting there. Even without using them, they'll degrade over time. So, that's the other thing. Physical media doesn't last forever.
Yeah.
So far as I know that they found, physical media just over time, mm-hmm. long enough space, it deteriorates, it degrades, yeah. and becomes unreadable or become, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Dry rots. Yeah. Who knows, depending on how you keep it. But
film gets brittle. Discs start to crack and degrade.
Right.
All types of stuff. Players aren't available for it. You know, all types of things that can happen will happen. So, yeah, the digital way is... Is in terms of preserving it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it goes. So they just went to it and left the rest alone.
I was looking at the Humble Choice here. Blacktail is available this month. Astral Ascent. We also have Diluvian Ultra. Universe for Sale. And what else do we have? This Means Warp. Sifu. S-I-F-U? Sifu?
Yeah, Sifu.
That is also available. High on Life. Gotham Knights. And I think some kind of coupon. Oh, yeah. DC Universe 1 month trial. DC Infinite Universe. Yeah. It's the little digital comic thing that you can buy. That's what Humble is. And I mean, for that amount right there, Gotham Knights, which I know is probably crap. Sifu, which I think is actually very good. High on Life, which looks really good. I have no idea. I haven't played it. It's on Game Pass, by the way. Mm-hmm. Seems to be worth the $12 plus the other games that you get out of there. Mm-hmm. Depending on, it's all up to you. We are way behind. We got to take a break. I don't think we're going to finish this, everything we wanted to go over with Gamescom, but we'll see what we can do. Here's music from Duck Detective and what sold me on basically getting the game. This is called Duck a la Noir.
Noir style music, yep.
Yep. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this, he said, as he waits. See? See what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's totally, this is, yes.
Yeah.
Almost L.A. Noir-ish, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be back. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. What's up?
I was about to ask you, what sitcom intro is this?
It's from a game called Bread and Fred. It's the main theme of Bread and Fred.
Sitcom? It
yeah, I know, right?
Sounds like a sitcom.
He's Bread, he's Fred, they working together. I don't know. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We only got like 6 minutes, and then we gotta wrap it up. So I wish I could go through the rest of these games.
Yeah, especially one you wanted to go through, Secret Level.
Yeah. I really wanted to get to Secret Level. Starfield's got a new vehicle, and it's getting Shattered Space, which is kind of like space cosmic horror, coming up in September. Mm-hmm. Marvel Rivals was shown off. Secret Level, not a game, but what I really enjoyed was the fact that it was the guy, Tim... I don't think it's Tim Miller. It might be. The guy that runs Blur Studios. Blur Studios have done some amazing CG cutscene type stuff, cinematics, that sort of thing for video games.
Tim Miller, David Stinnett,
Shire. Tim Miller. Okay. Tim Miller's who I was thinking of. So I was right. It was Tim Miller. They've done amazing work over the many, many years. I never really considered them a video game studio, more as I considered them a CGI type studio that makes just some amazing looking CGI stuff. And Secret Level is an anthology TV series for Amazon Prime, and it's all related to video games. We don't know what it's going to be. We have no idea, but there's the sizzle reel for the thing showed off a ton of different titles and some games that I didn't recognize, if it's even games at all, and not just kind of, you know, here's a CG story that we came up with. I definitely saw God of War. So I saw Kratos. I want to say I saw Warhammer.
Okay.
And God, there's probably a ton of others.
So basically, anthology based on story based video game titles.
Kind of. Basically, that's the case. In fact, I saw Pac-Man at the very end of the trailer. You might not think it's Pac-Man, but it absolutely is, or it's at least their version of Pac-Man. Mm-hmm. It's this gold metallic ball that when
got,
it
got pizza slice missing.
Well, when it opens up, it's got these like blades on the inside of it, you know, that are just kind of look like teeth, constantly moving.
Blades.
It's, I don't know, man.
Okay, you're messing up already.
No, not at all.
Dark Pac-Man.
Let me look at it. Yeah, there it is. There's Pac-Man. That's great. You'd have to look at the... I don't know if you've watched the trailer or not, but I will... Since I'm looking at it now, I will post the trailer
I think
here.
I got a little something on YouTube I'm looking at. Trying to, anyway.
I just threw it in there.
Yeah. Let's see. Your game awaits.
Right. At 128 is where he shows up.
And no. What was that horror movie? Phantasm?
Phantasm, yes.
With the ball with the blades on it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That. It looks like a gold Phantasm thing. Yes, exactly. I don't know. I'm down. I like it.
Y'all should have done Dig Dug.
Yeah. Who knows? I don't know that they didn't. Who knows?
That's true.
I haven't seen the rest of it. I'm kind of curious. If they do the Pac-Man thing, that would be great if it's just that particular episode is nothing but old classics done in that way.
Yeah.
Pac-Man, Asteroids, Dig Dug.
Space Invaders.
Space Invaders, if that's in there. You know, a bunch of the Donkey Kong would be great, but that's a Nintendo license.
I don't know.
You know, I don't know. There's tons of stuff there that they could pick from. What else? Let me hit some others that are just before I... Because the next time we do a show will be long after this is done.
Yeah.
I'm looking for something else. Ooh, Batman Arkham Shadow. That's the Batman game in the Arkhamverse that's on VR only. And the way they brought in Batman combat and gameplay into a VR looked very interesting. Little Nightmares 3 we talked about earlier. Hurdling. And Peter Molyneux with his Masters of Albion. It was really interesting to see Peter Molyneux up on stage there talking about that. It's a god game type of thing with some mixes of Fable and black and white. I'm always interested in what Peter Molyneux is doing. I'm not necessarily always happy with what he does, but I'm always interested. Unknown 9 Awakening, we saw a little bit of that. What else? Diablo 4, Ara, History Untold. There's just so much. I'm in the indie stuff and then Mafia the Old Country. That's it. We got to go. Here's music from Mullet Mad Jack. We'll be back in 2 weeks. RJ, thank you. I'm sorry I'm leaving so quick, but we've got like 10 seconds before we got to go. See you next week. Or no, 2 weeks.